Well, do keep that passage open. And if you were here last week for Habakkuk Part 1 and you have returned, thank you. If you have turned up in church this morning and this wasn't the kind of thing you were expecting to hear, please don't go anywhere. These are complicated words. These are difficult words. But they are words that speak to us of God's priorities, of his heart, and for the way in which we can learn to bring something of his kingdom to wherever we find ourselves. So let's pray. Lord God, would you help us by your Spirit to clearly see and hear your heart. As Habakkuk cried to you, may we be those who, rather than despairing, cry to you too. And as you answered Habakkuk with words about your own timing and your own priorities and holiness, may we hear your word of challenge and encouragement this morning. Amen. Well, do keep those Bibles open. Habakkuk chapter 1 on page 940 of the Church Bibles. But before we get there, a few other things. Unwise, but not illegal, was the phrase that Philip Schofield used to describe his affair with a much younger colleague. Tim Davie, the director of the BBC, answering MPs' questions over the scandal concerning Hugh Edwards, said, "You need to ensure that you are very, very clear on what are your expectations culturally as well as the policy." Last year's Football World Cup in Qatar was watched by millions and made many rich. In the period between awarding the games to Qatar and the start of the first match, over 6,500 migrant workers died. As Nick McGeehan from Fair Square Projects observed, a very significant proportion of the migrant workers who have died since 2011 were only in the country because Qatar won the right to host the World Cup. The Crown Prosecution Service in this country charged 1,048 revenge porn offences between April 2020 and June 2022, using a law from 2005. Abuse and extortion of mostly women and girls online. Research from the British Board of Film Classification in 2019 found that 50% of 11 to 13-year-olds had seen pornography online, and that 41% of 11 to 17-year-olds agreed that watching porn made them less respectful of the opposite sex. Friends, our world may have a moral compass, and there are things that either the real world or the Twitter world find abhorrent. But the compass is confused, at times contradictory, and doesn't really know where to find its true north. Before we get to Habakkuk, two more things. Two words of caution. You might be sat here in church this morning thinking that everything was so much better before a certain date, and depending on which newspaper you read, or maybe your own memory, that date may vary. But the annals of history suggest that humanity has always had issues around power and abuse and sin. Before any date that you can think of, other than if you have a date for the fall in Genesis 3 and the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. Robert Burns writes, "Man's inhumanity to man makes countless thousands mourn." From his poem, "Man Was Made to Mourn," written in 1784. And have you thought about the way in which sex and violence marked the empire and the conquests of Rome. And what we've just heard read from the book of Habakkuk, hundreds of years before Christ. Another word of caution. You might be thinking that all of this is out there, outside these walls. But friends, there have been countless scandals, sexual, financial, bullying, and more, within the life of the church. Not limited to particular types of church, particular denominations, or particular countries. So with all of that in mind, what might the book of Habakkuk say to us this morning? What might we align our lives with so that there are more glimpses of God's kingdom? Jenny last week helped us to see that Habakkuk called on God to look on the situation, the trouble, and the difficulty in the life of his people, desperately crying in chapter 1, verse 2, "How long, Lord, must I cry for help?" And God's response was to call Habakkuk to look more broadly at the situation in the world, to know that in response to the trouble amongst his people, he was raising up the Babylonians, not the answer that Habakkuk was looking for. And we also had a sneak peek to the end of the book. Whilst we don't get a happy ever after, we get a sense of Habakkuk and probably more of the people being close to God, knowing something of his presence, even when times are hard. So today we look at Habakkuk's second complaint and God's reply. Essentially, the cry goes up, "God, you are holy, people are not. Why do those who do wrong go unpunished? Why is there so much mess in the world? And yes, we've got problems, but why on earth would you use the Babylonians, who are far worse than us, to come and sort it out?" Look down in your Bibles at chapter 1, verse 12. "My God, my Holy One." You see, Habakkuk has a right view of God. He gets God's identity right. He identifies him as the Holy One. And then he complains in verse 13. "Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves?" He's saying, "I know things are bad amongst the people, but how does it make sense to use someone worse than us, the Babylonians, to deal with it?" And we understand that kind of question, don't we? Even if many within that nation have not been faithful to the covenants of God, some of them have been. The Babylonians are far worse. And Habakkuk, in his complaining, highlights the cruelty and the violence of the Babylonians. They treat people inhumanely. Look down at verse 15. "Sometimes the captives were led off with a hook through their nose, an intentionally painful and humiliating spectacle. They are so proud, the Babylonians, of their methods of war and capture that they sacrifice to their nets. They almost worship their tools of war. And Habakkuk is concerned that nobody will be able to stop this killing, capturing, violent machine. In verse 17, "Look, is this going to go on forever? When will you act?" So we're left waiting. Waiting with Habakkuk, who takes up position like a watchman waiting for an enemy. And the Lord's answer, again, may not be what Habakkuk was expecting or hoping for. The Lord says, "All will be brought to account in my time." You see, the Lord knows that the enemy, the Babylonians, they're not righteous. But he knows that God's people are called to live by faith, to set their hearts on God's ways, even in the face of adversity. Chapter 2, verse 4 is quoted by Paul in the letter to the Romans, Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, i.e. back in Habakkuk, the righteous will live by faith. So in order to understand God's ways, we have five woes in this section, where the Lord highlights particular behaviors and attitudes that are not in harmony with God's priorities and laws, and shows how the evil will not always prevail. With each of these woes, it would be easy to point the finger at others, other nations, other groups, other professions, whatever, other people. But if the righteous are to live by faith, we must be aware of our own propensity to go against God's will aids ourselves. So let us hear these five woes. Firstly, chapter 2, verse 6. Woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. Here are those who literally take chunks out of what is not theirs in order to build up their own wealth. Now, this doesn't take much imagination, does it? But a day is coming when those things taken by Babylon will be taken from Babylon. The remnant of the peoples oppressed will rise up. Chapter 9, verse 9. Woe to him who builds his house by unjust gain, setting his nest on high to escape the clutches of ruin. You see, the Babylonians were really quite good at conquest, but the amassing of stolen wealth was against God's law. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. The Babylonians were making a city that was hard to reach. The Greek historian Herodotus records that Babylon's city had a huge wall, wide enough for a four-horse chariot to ride on top of it, with 100 bronze gates. They were perhaps the first gated community. They were insulating themselves against the rest of the world. But the human cost of their conquest means judgment. They have forfeited their lives in verse 10. And the building materials that have been plundered from other nations will stand as witnesses against them in verse 11. Verse 12. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by injustice. Here Babylon is condemned for violence and injustice. We may know the words from the prophet Micah. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You see, the foundations of the city of Babylon are established not on fairness and collaboration, or on seeking the common good, or on mercy, or injustice, but built with bloodshed and injustice. The Babylonians seek their own honor and glory. They are not concerned with who they trample on the way. In contrast, a day is coming when the glory of the Lord, that particular sign of God's presence and holiness, will be known across the world. People from many nations will come to know the goodness of God and respond in faith. Verse 15. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. Here is shame and dishonor. Again, there is violence and exploitation. There are a number of places in the Bible where seeing another's nakedness brings shame upon them, and here there is a real sense of sexual abuse in the context of war. In verse 17, there's also a hint that they are responsible for the rape of the land's resources as well as human beings. And as the Babylonians are abusive towards others, God says they will not escape shame and repercussion. There is a cup, a divine judgment that is coming their way. Verse 19. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, wake up. The final woe slightly changes track. Here the accusation is on false worship. They have not recognized the true and living God. Psalm 135 describes idols this way. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. And the response to this false worship is actually to see the Lord. If you look down at verse 20, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Youssef Dembele, a Bible scholar from Mali, writes, "What a contrast between these dumb idols and the sovereignty and transcendence of the true God. He can indeed speak, and it is all creation that is reduced to silence before him." Habakkuk asked, "Lord, what are you going to do?" And the Lord shows how much he has seen, how much he knows of the violence and the oppression and the abuse, the injustice in the world. And he speaks that one day all will be brought to account. For us as Christians, when we look back on these words, we do so aware of the ministry and work of Jesus, aware of the work of the Spirit in our own lives. So three questions to finish. Are we concerned about God's ways, his glory being made known in every area of life? These five woes have spoken about violence, abuse, injustice, ethical building, finance, false worship, and more. Are we concerned about God's way? Are we aware of those areas of our lives where so easily we could hear God say to us, "Woe to you"? Are we aware of those areas of our lives where so easily we could hear God say to us, "Woe to you"? Are we confident that God's promise to us is that there will be a day when all will be made right, that we will see the fullness of his glory? Are we confident that God's promise to us is that there will be a day when all will be made right and we will see the fullness of his glory? As we reflect on those three questions, would you stand if you're able? Habakkuk 2:20 says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." And so in this time and this place, we are silent before our holy God. So may you live by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, allowing the Spirit to move you to work for the building of God's kingdom, awaiting with hope the day when all will be well for those who love God. Amen.